Guys, welcome to Better Bachelor. My name is Joker, and tonight we're going to be talking about how you, a not billionaire, a non-popular icon, with no health problems, well, even you can't keep a loving wife. So how does Kanye stand a chance? Because he only was a billionaire and a popular icon, but unfortunately had a little bit of health problems, and that was enough of an excuse that Kim Kardashian could walk away. So we're going to talk just a couple minutes on that. And then I got an article I'm going to read from of why women leave their men. And when you hear the list of requirements that, quote, women want for their men, you may quickly realize the juice isn't worth the squeeze, as we sometimes say. So first things first, I wanted to just say I think it is amazing we have landed another rover on Mars. This is some video that you see on the screen here. I know some of you are flat earthers. You believe what you want to believe. I know some of you say this is probably a studio somewhere out in Nevada, California, or Nevada. Let me try that again. Nevada or California. I like to believe we've got a rover on another planet. So I'm kind of excited. I hope they keep sending back samples and things like that, because now it's official. There's now multiple robots on Mars, and now we can technically say Mars is colonized by robots. I like that. I think, you know, I feel like I was too young to explore the Earth, and or at least discover parts of the Earth, and I'm too old, I guess you could say, to maybe discover the stars, but I can live vicariously through a robot on another planet. So I think that's, you know, every once in a while we got to find some good news to talk about. All right, so this is I did a video several months ago about Kim Kardashian and Kanye splitting. And, you know, even though the guy's a billionaire, even though he's pretty popular, even though he's a musician, he does have some bipolar disorder or some issues. And he's been known to say some kind of crazy things. But, you know, in his hardest times, you know, it's not like his woman's going to stay with him. She's going to bail while the bailing is good and when she's still relatively young, I guess. But this article here kind of, they say, inside Kim Kardashian and Kanye West split, how Kim signaled it was over. And here's the part I wanted to read from this article. Is all the way down at the bottom here. Let's see where I'm. Okay, as we first reported in July, Kardashian knew it was not a good look to file for divorce while her husband was battling a particularly bad and very public bipolar episode. At the time, a source told us, now is not the right time for a divorce. They're smart enough to know it's not a good look. She'll pull a show of trying to support him, and then a divorce can happen later. Well, guess what? Kim Kardashian today files for divorce from Kanye West. Now, a lot of women will say, you know, that they want to be proposed to in a very meaningful, amazing way. They want a big wedding. They want to feel like they're special. This dude rented out a stadium for her and has obviously given her a very lavish lifestyle. But it doesn't mean that women are not going to drift away. Kim Kardashian West has filed for divorce from Kanye West, a court clerk for Los Angeles Superior Court confirmed to CNN on Friday. Christy Welder, a representative for Kardashian West, confirmed the divorce filing but said Kardashian West had no additional comment. CNN has reached out for West for comment. Details from the filings were not immediately available. The two were married in a lavish wedding in Italy in 2014, but they've been living apart. West has reportedly been living in their home in Wyoming while Kardashian West has stayed in California with their children. It's weird they're not saying Kanye and Kim. They're going West and Kardashian West? I don't know. Kanye famously proposed to Kim by renting out a sports stadium and hiring an orchestra as her family watched from nearby, all of which was documented in the TV show. The whole point is, though, that we're talking about billionaire, very popular, like the guy did a lot for her, at least initially, in the relationship. Let me change this camera angle, because that light, I know, is right in your guys' face. Let's see if that's better. Yeah. But anyway, the whole point is, you got a billionaire, you got a guy that's worth a ton of money, you got a guy that's very popular. He gives her a lavish lifestyle, and he started struggling with bipolar issues, and basically she bailed on him. She says he's a brilliant but complicated person who, on top of the pressures of being an artist and a black man who experienced the painful loss of his mother and has to deal with the pressure and isolation that is heightened by his bipolar disorder, those who are close with Kanye know his heart and understand his words sometimes do not align with his intentions. So basically her quote was, he's got a lot of pressure on him because he's an artist and a black man, and he experienced the painful loss of his mother, and he's got pressure and he feels isolation because of his bipolar issues, and people that know his heart, understand his words, sometimes do not align with his intentions. And so I'm leaving him. She basically admits he's under a lot of stress, a lot of pressure, is very isolated, and to help him with his problem, she's decided to isolate him even more by divorcing him. So the main article I wanted to talk to tonight was about why women leave men. And this was written by Willard F. Harley, Jr., PhD. And this is from The Marriage Builders, Building Marriages That Last a Lifetime. And what I want to talk about tonight is I want you to listen to this article. And this is what someone that is a doctor and that does counseling, this is the advice. Number one, I want you to hear how it's men's fault completely why women leave men. Because men are not women's best friends, and men don't listen to women, and they don't connect emotionally to women. And here's the big one. They don't get permission from their women to do all the things they want to do. And so the woman feels like she's left out. So let's read about this. So here's some of the quotes that that women give for why they leave their men. Number one, I hurt all the time because I feel alone and abandoned. And I'm just gonna highlight a couple of these. Yes, if you want your husband, your man, to be your best friend and to be very interested in your life, you're doing it wrong. Men don't think like that. Usually they don't. My husband is no longer my friend. Husband and wife shouldn't be friends. They're not meant to be best buddies. Women have their women friends, men have their men friends, and then when you're together, men be men, women be women, and that's kind of the dynamic. It's supposed to be in a relationship. Once you become friends, it screws everything up. The only time he pays attention to me is when he wants bedroom fun. He's never there for me when I need him the most. When he hurts my feelings, he doesn't apologize. Now, here's the thing with a lot of these. How does a man know when you need him the most? I mean, a lot of women seem to need men a lot. So is every time the most? And also, when he hurts my feelings, he doesn't apologize. Does he know you're hurting his feelings, or he's hurting your feelings? He lives his life as if we weren't married. He rarely considers me, okay? We're like ships passing in the night. He goes his way and I go mine. My husband has become a stranger to me. I don't even know who he is anymore. He doesn't show any interest in me or what I do. So they say, women tend to be more concerned about their marriages than men. They buy most of the books on marriage to try to improve them and initiate most marriage counseling. They often complain about their marriages to their closest friends and sometimes to anyone who will listen. And they also file for divorce twice as often as men. Why do women seem so dissatisfied with marriage? What do they want from their husbands? What bothers them so much about marriage that most are willing to risk their family's future to escape it? Why do women leave men? He says, each day I'm confronted by women who are extremely frustrated with their marriages. They usually express no hope that their husbands will ever understand what it is that frustrates them, let alone change enough to solve the problem. From their perspective, marital problems are created by their husbands who do little or nothing to solve them. Wives tend to see themselves as the major force for resolving conflicts, and when they give up their effort, the marriage is usually over. Here's something that it's a common trope, but I don't think it's a misconception. I think it's pretty accurate. When men marry a woman or when men date a woman, they want the woman to stay the same person in whom they're dating. When women marry men or when women date men, they want to change men into who they think would be the perfect fit for them. It doesn't work that way. If a man is a strong, independent man and a woman wants him to kind of come around to her way, he will lose some of the strength and the independence that she was looking for and she found so attractive in him to begin with. And again, if men start having to change who they are to make her happy, What was it in the first place that she fell in love with? What was it that she wanted from him in the first place? The doctor continues on, when I talk to their husbands, they usually have a very different explanation as to why their wives feel the way they do. They often feel that the expectations of women in general, and their wives in particular, have grown completely out of reach. These men who feel that they've made a gigantic effort to be caring and sensitive to their wives get no credit whatsoever for their sizable contribution to the family. They feel under enormous pressure to improve their financial support, improve the way they raise their children, and improve the way they treat their wives. Many men I see are emotionally exhausted and feel that for all their effort, they get nothing but criticism. And this is something that I think comes about oftentimes in many of the letters and emails that you guys have sent me on the forums. By the way, if you haven't joined me over at locals.com, betterbachelor.locals.com, link is below. We've got like 14,000 members over there. We're having amazing conversations. It's like Facebook and Twitter and 9gag and like a meme forum, everything tossed into one, except it's all about our community. So if you guys are looking for a good place to leave social media but still have good interactions with men and a couple of women, actually join us over there, because we're having some really great conversations about some stuff. But a lot of the people over on the forums over there have contacted me, and well, and they're like, you know something, I feel like I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm doing this, and then all of a sudden, there's something else, and there's something else. And I'm never good enough. I've never done enough to make her happy. There's always a criticism. And eventually, either the guy gets fed up and he says, you know what, I'm never going to be good enough for you, I'm tired of all the criticism, and they bail. Or the woman says, he's not changed enough, or he doesn't pay enough attention to me, or he's not doing the things I ask, and the women get tired of it. The truth is that men stay men and women stay women, and never the two shall change. And if a man changes too much to meet a woman's happiness, he's not going to be the man that she fell in love with. Because women will oftentimes say, like, I want a strong, independent, I don't give an F attitude, masculine man. But then it's also at the same time, well, he doesn't pay attention to my needs. He doesn't listen to me when I have this complaint. He's not there to support me emotionally. Like, you can't have it both ways. And guys are getting very confused, and men are tapping out. He continues on, the simpler role of husbands in decades past has now been replaced with a much more complex and confusing role, especially in their relationship with their wives. Some conclude that women are born to complain and men must ignore it to survive. Others feel that women have to come to expect so much of men that they are impossible to please, so there's no point in even trying. Very few men these days feel that they have learned to become the husbands that their wives have wanted, and the job seems to be getting more and more difficult. So let's look at things in the past. A man, masculine, fixed things, handled the problems, brought home the money, was the backbone of the family. If he had problems, he dealt with it, usually by having a stiff drink after work and maybe being very depressed or having heart failure or health problems later in life. When women had issues, they had their female friends, other housewives, that maybe they'd get together with, and they'd talk, and they'd have get-togethers and babysit for each other and have, I don't know, I guess you call it like a baby, well, I don't even know what you call it. When mothers get together and a play date, that's the word, I don't have kids, so I don't know. A play date, and they'd have play date with their other wives in the area, and they talk about this stuff. At least that's what I've seen on Mad Men, the TV show. I don't know exactly what it was like, but it wasn't like a man didn't sit there and, you know, sip on an espresso while his wife like dumped all her life's problems and wanting to be her best friend. And hey, I got you, baby. Like, I'm your best friend. Like, it wasn't like that. And now men are expected to both be masculine and the backbone of the family and be an alpha male and be strong and be a provider and being rock solid. But at the same time, he should be my best friend and he should listen to my woes at work and all my problems. And he should be supportive of me and he should care about my interests. And it's too much for men. And so men kind of get fried out, and then women are saying, well, he's not the man I wanted. Because a lot of guys either stay too strong, and then the women say, he's abandoning me emotionally, and he's not there for me. Or men capitulate, and they give in. And then women are like, oh, he's such a great guy, but he doesn't give me the tingles anymore, and he's not really masculine and strong, and he's kind of effeminate, and I look at him as a friend. You can't have it both ways, ladies. You got to pick one or the other. He says, grounds for divorce. Men's perceived failure to satisfy their wives is punctuated by the fact that women file for divorce twice as often as men. In other words, their unhappiness with marriage often results in divorce. The most common reason women give for leaving their husbands is mental cruelty. When legal grounds for divorce are stated, about half report they have been emotionally kind of abandoned. But the mental cruelty they describe is really rarely the result of their husband's efforts to drive them crazy. It's usually husbands being indifferent, failing to communicate, and demonstrating other forms of neglect. Now, what does it mean when a man is indifferent? Does it mean that he doesn't care? Not necessarily. It means, yes, he may not care about how you and Becky got in an argument over your tuna salad at lunch. Guys don't care about that. We just don't care. Because men are not social like that. Women are. Men aren't. It's the same as if I sat a woman down and I tried to explain like the shearing strength or the shearing strength of this particular wood screw that I use to hold the deck together and why it's important that it has X amount of shearing strength so that if you have so much weight in the corner of the deck, like you can hear women falling asleep to that. Well, it's the same thing with Becky and Susan talking about their tuna salad. Men don't care. So it may seem that men are being indifferent. It's just they don't care. And when it's day after day after day, men tend to tune out. They've got other things on their mind. They actually explain about this in a little bit. Failing to communicate. Again, if a man has a problem and comes up to his wife and says, honey, will you help me with a problem? I really need your advice and I need your help and I'm not too sure about something. It comes across as weak. Women want their men to be strong. So if a man has a problem, he's not going to talk about it. He's just going to think about it. He's going to deal with it. And then, of course, they say demonstrating other forms of things. But anyway, continuing on. Another reason for divorce reported almost as much as the mental attributes is neglect. These include both emotional abandonment and physical abandonment. Husbands that work away from the home, sometimes leaving their wives alone for a week at a time, fall into this category. Okay, this is a good example. What is a man to do when it's either A, my job has given me a promotion, I can make more money for my wife and my kids, and to make sure that the bills and the needs are met and we have extra money for a nicer home or more things for the family, or I turn down that promotion, I make less money, and maybe I'm around my wife and my family more. However, I'm getting the stress of, honey, we need this, and the kids need this, and Johnny needs braces. So, again, men are getting torn in two directions. You cannot have it both ways. You can't say I'm stressed about money and he doesn't provide enough. And at the same token, he's always gone. Yes, he provides enough, but he's not meeting my emotional needs. Like, we can't do it all. We can't do it all. And men are finding this out, and men are finding that the stress of a relationship is not giving the rewards of a relationship. In other words, the stress is here, the rewards are here. And a guy after a while just does the mental math and goes, you know what? This is more stress than I need for the benefits that I'm receiving. And I'm out, and they start to shut down. The reason why men don't file for divorce more often, if they get feeling shut down like this, is because they know if they file, many times they're going to have alimony, they're going to have child support, they're going to lose custody of their kids, they're going to have child support to pay, and it's just sometimes best to just say, well, I guess I'll just live in a loveless marriage. Continuing on, he says, simply stated, women leave men when they are neglected. Neglect accounts for almost all the reasons women leave and divorce men. Almost all, but not all. Continue on. I have little trouble convincing most men that verbal and physical harm are legitimate reasons for their wives to leave. And there's been increasing social pressure on men lately to avoid hurting their wives, both emotionally and verbally, which makes my job even easier. But neglect is a much tougher sell, and it's also much more difficult to overcome. While it's the most important reason women leave men, it's hard to convince men that it's a legitimate reason, something they should avoid at all costs. Again, so the women are leaving because they're not getting enough emotional attention from their men. You notice there's nothing here about women need to expect less from men. That hasn't been mentioned. It's just men need to step up and provide emotionally for their women. Some of the common complaints I hear from women is, quote, he ignores me except when he wants the bedroom fun. He sits and watches television when he could be talking to me. He rarely calls me to see how I'm doing. He hurts my feelings and then never apologizes. Instead, he tells me I'm too sensitive. That can be a problem. I agree. But the thing of it is that men are, again, I'll say this again, men are not social like women are. Men do not like to talk just to talk. Men do not like to necessarily share stories about their day, I think my answer every day to every job I've ever gone to and every work day I've ever had, even if it was a bad day or a good day or maybe I got in a little disagreement with my boss or whatever, is usually it's, how was work today? Eh, it's all right. It was good. That's it. That's men sharing. Why? Because we don't want to get into the minutia. We don't sit and drill and think about things that happen during the day. Unless, like, either A, I'm not going to get a promotion. B, I might get fired. Like, maybe that's something a guy's going to be sitting there thinking about. But other than that, he's not going to be like, oh, John and I got in such an argument today because I wanted to do a code this way and he wanted to program it in a different direction. Guys don't, we just want to let it go at the end of the day. And how do men let it go? Men let it go by, number one, bedroom fun. Believe it or not, that is a great stress relief for men. When men are stressed, bedroom fun. When men are happy, bedroom fun. When men want to express the way they feel about their wives and be close to them and intimate with them, bedroom fun. When men are upset and they want to feel like they bond with somebody, bedroom fun. It's not just a physical act for men. That's, and I did this in another video a few days ago. Or he watches television. He's either got something on his mind and instead of sitting there staring off into space like a zombie, he may put something on TV. It doesn't mean he's necessarily watching it or really into it. He may be very deep into his mind. And they say, when he could be talking to me. Okay, he doesn't want to talk about his feelings. He rarely calls me to see how I'm doing. Depends on what's going on. Again, if a guy has hobbies and he's got things going on, he's not wondering how you are. He assumes everything is fine. And okay, he calls her and what? Hey, how are you doing? Good. Sweet. Okay. Bye. No, you're supposed to have something to talk about. But what if a guy doesn't have anything to talk about? We're not, a lot of guys are just not like, oh, I want to chit chat about my day. That's not how men, a lot of men are. I know this because I'm one of them. He hurts my feelings and never apologizes. Okay, I've had this one thrown at me quite a few times. And yeah, sometimes I can be really insensitive. Sometimes I can hurt people's feelings. Sometimes what I find as hurting someone's feelings, someone else, I don't assume or I don't know someone else would find to be hurtful of someone's feelings. So when a guy says something, whatever it is, and the woman goes, oh, you hurt my feelings. And the guy goes, sorry, I apologize. And then he talks about something else and, oh, you hurt my feelings again. Eventually guys are like, look, everything I'm saying is hurting her feelings. I'm not going to talk anymore. I'm being misunderstood or I'm hurting their feelings. And they just shut down. Continue on. They say, do women expect too much of their husbands or are men doing less for their wives than they should? I've proven to husbands over and over again that their wives usually do not expect too much of them. And when they understand and respond to their wives' frustration, the complaining ends and a terrific marriage begins. Okay, so maybe the wives aren't expecting too much of the men. All right, so maybe there's a learning moment for us guys. Maybe there's a lower, let's listen to what the doctor says and how we can connect to women more in our lives so that we don't hurt their feelings. So we need to step up more. Women aren't expecting too much of us. Okay, what do we need to learn? He says, what's more, their wives are not expecting more effort from them. Instead, expect efforts in a different direction. It isn't more difficult to please women these days. It simply requires a change in the priority of effect. What are women looking for in men? They want a soulmate. Someone they trust who is there for them when they have a problem, who takes their feelings into account when decisions are being made, someone with whom they feel emotionally connected. Okay, soulmate, we're starting to dip into like fantasy land there a little bit, sorry. Someone they trust, I think that's important. Someone who is there for them when they have a problem. Again, men like to problem solve, especially for the women they love, who takes their feelings into account when decisions are being made. I know most men would try. Someone whom they feel emotionally connected. I agree with that. So far, I don't know too many men that would disagree. He says, a man's house. I used to have a house as an illustration to help husbands understand how their wives feel. Each room in the house represents one of the husband's roles in their life. This is a room for his job as a production manager. There's another for golf, another for his new sports car, one for his garden, one for his children, one for church, and yes, one for his wife. As he makes his way through an average day, he visits various rooms when he's faced with the role that the room defines. And when he's in a certain room, the others are blocked out of his mind so that he can focus his undivided attention on the role he plays at the time. He does his best when he is not faced with distractions and prefers to deal with each problem with all his energy and creativity so that he does the best when he can, so he does the best he can in each role he plays. Okay, I'm going to touch on this because this is true, although the way I've heard it explained is men's minds are filled with a bunch of compartments, a bunch of boxes, and they aren't attached to each one. So as I'm sitting here doing this video, there's nothing on my mind but this video and this article, and that's it. When I'm working on my bus, I'm only working on my bus. I'm not thinking about what I'm doing for videos later on. I'm working on my bus, and I like to pay attention and focus on that. When I'm riding motorcycle, I do not, like, I may let my mind wander a little bit to little things, but 95% of what I'm doing is paying attention to the road, because if you're not paying attention, you can, like, hurt yourself or end yourself by going into a corner too fast or not paying attention. That's why motorcycle riding is very, very therapeutic for me, because it's a task that I can focus very strongly on, and I find it to be very relaxing. So when men deal with their problem at work, their mind is in the work box. When they get home, they've left the work box behind. So when a woman says, "How was your day?" the guy says, "That box is over there. It was good. Done." And why does he want to not talk about work? Because he doesn't want to open his work box and mix it with the home box. He wants to leave home the same. When a man talks about his hobbies and he wants to do his hobbies, he's in his hobby box. He doesn't want to be worrying about anything else at the time. Okay, that's how men think. Women, as have been in other articles, women are kind of like all the boxes are connected with a big rope. And if you tug on one end of the rope, all the boxes are affected a little bit. So how do we fix this? Well, let's hear what the good doctor says. The wives of most men are only one of the rooms in this imaginary house. It represents the husband role. When they are in that room, they usually try to give their wives undivided attention and to make a special effort to meet their needs. They also go to that room to have their own needs met, particularly in the need for bedroom fun. What frustrates wives the most is that they are relegated to only one room in their husband's imaginary house instead of every room. In other words, they want to be integrated into a man's entire life, not relegated to one corner. Without such integration, there can be no emotional bonding, no uniting of the spirit, no feeling of intimacy, and in many cases, no bedroom fun. In other words, everything a guy does to make his wife happy, her influence or her importance needs to be mixed in with every other box. That's literally what he's saying here. To help husbands learn to avoid this unpleasant outcome, I have tried to show them how to become and stay emotionally connected to their wives by inviting them into each room of their house. They learn to become more than the role of husband to their wives. They learn to integrate their wives into every aspect of their lives. Men don't want this. I'll tell you that now. If I'm going to go for a motorcycle ride, now, would I maybe give the wife a ride occasionally if she was into it? Sure. But is it going to be my own solo activity? Yes. Should I have to ask my permission from my wife to go for a motorcycle ride? No, not going to happen. Should my wife ask my permission if she wants to, I don't know, read a book? No. Why? Maybe that's her hobby. Should she ask me if she wants to cook a favorite meal for her lunch that's only exclusively for her and I will not be eating it, but should she ask my permission before making it? No. Why would she do that? She can just make it. Now, if she's a motorcycle rider and she says, "I'm going out for a motorcycle ride," go ahead. Should she ask me for my permission to ride a motorcycle? No. So why are we supposed to incorporate permissions and our wives or our girlfriends in every case of our lives? That's not keeping the masculine and keeping the feminine. Sorry, I bumped the mic there. I'm going to have to mute that out. That's not keeping the masculine and the feminine. We need to keep those two energies apart. That's what makes this such a hot mess. If a woman wants to feel important to all, you know, and be listened to and have this big social circle, find other women friends. I mean, you guys are on social media and on Facebook and Twitter and all this other stuff all the time. Go make friends there. Let your man be the strong one when he wants to be alone or work on a project or fix something around the house or have his hobby. Let him do it. He will provide for the family. He will make sure that you get your needs met, that you are important to him. And but the minute you expect your husband to like incorporate you into everything of his life, this is where you get the buddy-buddy and you're too similar and there's no more mystery, there's no more independence, and you don't have to keep each other like attracted to each other anymore. He continues on, when I counsel a husband, I explain that he is to invite his wife in each room of the house, regardless of his role or responsibility. His wife should be considered in each decision he makes. Once the invitation is made, the results are startling. Yeah, I bet they are. When a husband invites his wife into each room of his house, she helps change his priorities. She reminds him that her feelings are very different from his. As a result, he begins to live his life in a way that is compatible to her needs and values. Let me read that sentence again from a doctor that's a marriage counselor. She reminds him that her feelings are very different from his. As a result, he begins to live his life in a way that is compatible to her needs and her values. Where is it where she is understanding of his needs and his values and lets him keep his masculinity and lets him keep his roles defined, and she is understanding of him keeping his boxes segmented? Where, what's that you say? No, it is not in this article at all. It's all about the man changing to meet her needs and coming to see how she has her needs and what will make her feel comfortable. That's a lot of work. And that means in many ways, a man cannot be a man anymore or be the man he wants to be. He needs to change his ways. Shame on you, fellas. You need to change. Continuing on, he learns how to avoid habits that cause his wife to be unhappy. And he learns how to meet her most important emotional needs. He also learns how to give his undivided attention to her and schedule time to be alone with her. So he has to avoid habits that she doesn't like. Where's the sentence where she avoids habits he doesn't like? Oh, that's not here. He learns how to meet her most important emotional needs. Where's her meeting his need to have independence and space? Oh, that's not in this article either. He also learns how to give his undivided attention to her and schedule time to be alone with her. Where is it in here where she says, I understand that you need time alone and that you are going to schedule time to be by yourself? Well, that's not in this article either. But this is Marriage Builders from a doctor that's helping relationships work. Notice all the sacrifice, at least to his advice, is being made by the men. There's nothing to the women that say, hey, you know something? Maybe you're being overbearing. You have to understand that men need their space. Men do not deal with things socially the same way women do. You have to give him his space. You have to understand that. And maybe you do need to find other female friends or other hobbies for yourself so that you can have your life on your own and do your own thing and have people that are important in your life, not other men, mind you, other women important in your life to meet your social needs. And then when your husband comes together as a strong, independent backbone of the family, and you come forward as a very feminine, attractive woman, and there's still that bit of mystery, that still that bit of not best friends, but as of kind of dating romance, you can keep those energies alive. The minute a man's like, oh, baby, whatever you want, and how can I change, and I'll stop doing that habit, and I'll be better for you. He needs to do that, yes, to a point to where they can meet on the same page. But when it's everything that he is as a man is being criticized and everything he's doing, she's not appreciating, or she appreciates and then turns right around and is a critic of something else and something else and something else. Men just go, you know what? It's not worth it for me. And they shut down, they may not divorce because they'll lose half everything. They just shut down and become unresponsive to the wives completely. He continues on. The word anything in the policy applies to all the activities of a husband that go on in each of his rooms. So whenever he follows it, he learns to think about his wife's reaction to everything he does, not just what goes on in the husband room. Are you thinking about work? Think about what your wife's reaction to your work is. Are you thinking about your hobby? Think about what your wife's reaction to your hobby is. Are you thinking about just maybe taking Sunday and going out and hanging out with your male friends, watching football and eating wings and drinking a pint of beer? Think about your wife's reaction to you going to that room and enjoying those activities. Are you keeping her needs in mind before you do any of these things, guys? If the answer is yes, then you're whipped. And if the answer is no, then you're not doing it right, according to this doctor. Some argue that just an agreement would be a big help. Why insist on enthusiastic agreement? Oh, you see that. So if you agree to this, but not you don't excitedly agree to it, it's not enough, gentlemen. It's because I want couples to avoid agreements that are coerced or self-sacrificing. Let me read that again. It's because I want couples to avoid agreements that are coerced or self-sacrificing. I want couples to learn how to come to agreements that take both of their interests into account at once. I have encouraged couples to continue to negotiate until they arrive at an enthusiastic agreement because they're the ones that stand up to the test of time. Well, it sounds like the only one that's making any change and doing the negotiating is the men here. And the men are being coerced and are self-sacrificing if they're the ones that have to change the way they think and the way they act and the way they treat the women that they're with. It's a catch-22. Again, when we were dating, you loved me the way I was. Now that we're married, you want to change me completely as a person. That's hardly fair. And a lot of men feel duped by this. He continues on, most men complain that if they invite their wives into every room of their imaginary houses, their wives will take over completely and they will lose all their peace and freedom. They imagine their identity shriveling away and finding themselves a shadow of their former selves. Yes, why would most men complain about that? Because it's true. He says, but the policy of joint agreement prevents that unfortunate outcome. Joint agreement means that both husband and wife must be enthusiastic together, and no one risks losing their identity or subjecting themselves to being controlled when they themselves must be enthusiastic about each decision. The goal is to become united in purpose and spirit, not to overpower or control each other. Okay, that paragraph right there basically is nothing. It's a pile of hot crap. That's what that is right there. That literally says nothing. How easy is it? Well, let's find out. Because apparently, to me, it doesn't sound easy at all. Basically, you want me to give up everything I am as an independent man and basically let her in every room of my, quote, house, make her involved in everything in my life. Pass, that's a hard pass for me. But let's see how easy it is. Couples that are already emotionally bonded have little or no trouble following this policy because they have already learned how to behave in sensitive and caring ways in each of their lives' roles. But emotionally distant couples have great difficulty with the policy at first. They're accustomed to doing what they please regardless of its effect on each other, especially when they play certain roles. But if they follow the policy for even one day, they begin to see how their thoughtlessness has created emotional distance. Well, this policy so far is a lot about men changing and men adapting to the way women think. And then when you ask how hard it is and you say, oh, it's very easy to the couples that are emotionally bonded and the men that are already doing this. Well, if the men are already doing it, of course it's easy. The rest of this is just hot garbage. I'm not even going to read the rest of this. Here's the last paragraph, though. If men consider their wives' feelings in each decision they make, asking their wives when there is any uncertainty, they are creating a compatible lifestyle. Every decision you make, gentlemen, you have to consider your wife, and asking your wife if there's any uncertainty will create a compatible lifestyle. Well, what's compatible about it? Well, you meet her on her front. Who cares what you want? It's going to be meeting and joining and understanding what she wants. That's what's a compatible lifestyle. The policy of the joint agreement helps create understanding, emotional bonding, intimacy, and romantic love in marriages. Men that learn to take their wives' feelings into account meet most of their important and emotional needs. They also learn to overcome the selfish habits that make their wives so unhappy because those habits do not meet the standard of mutual agreement. Okay, so you must basically become the way that she wants you to become, and any habit that you have that is that she doesn't like, you must meet her on her side of the fence, or it's not going to work, and she's not going to find you attractive. Is this true? Yes, maybe it is true. maybe there are things that she says, hey, you know what? I find this unattractive, and I find this unattractive, and I find this, and I don't want you to do them anymore. And then as a man, you have a choice. You can either say, you know what? That's a compromise I'm willing to make to keep her attracted to me and to keep things going along well. That's fine. But when it comes to taking the woman's feelings into everything that you do across your entire life, and you put your wife's needs and feelings and everything first and utmost before anything else in the world, including your own hobbies, you're doing things your own way and having your own personal space, it's doomed to fail. Because that's the same woman that says, he's too needy, he talks too much, he's too emotional about stuff, and I'm not attracted to him anymore. It's a catch-22. A woman who doesn't leave the man who's invited her into every room of his house, that's because she doesn't stand outside the room of his house and feels like a stranger. She is welcomed into his entire home as his cherished life partner. Well, there you go, guys. Just change every aspect that makes you a man and follow her lead and meet all her needs, and she'll never leave you ever. Right. I could pull up, I just could go to Reddit and go to divorce strike or marriage problem. They've got a bunch of, and I can read in there. I've read stories on this channel where it's like, he's a devoted husband. He loves me very much. He meets my every needs. He brings in plenty of money. He's very sensitive to my needs, but I want to leave him. Why? Because I don't find him attractive anymore. Like he's my best friend and he's my life partner and he means everything and I love him very much. I'm just not sexually attracted to him anymore. Why? Because he's not masculine, because he's not strong, because he's not independent, because he's too emotional. Can't have it both ways. I would rather have a short-term relationship with me allowing me to be me and the woman stay a woman and we only work for a period of time versus giving up everything I am as a human being to make a wife happy. Which is kind of what this makes this article sounds like. Now, obviously, there are meeting in the middle. And yes, a woman can say, I want my man to be strong and independent, and I want him to have his free time, and I want him to stay masculine while I embrace the feminine, and I stay like attractive to him, and we both have our independent time, but there's other times where we come and we kind of are together on certain things. Yes, there is that balance. But when when an article is written to where guys just need to find everything that she cares about and make sure every need of her emotions is met, and you've got to jump into her world, she may appreciate you for it, and she may even come to respect you for it. But after a while, I just don't see how she will find you attractive anymore. It's a lot of hoops to jump through for a man just to keep the marriage afloat, because not only does he have the provider and the money and the being strong and being the backbone of the family and being supportive, but now he's also got to do all this other kind of cluing in on the feminine side of the world. Nah, too much work. All right, guys, now it is time for the dating profiles of the day. This first one, I have three for us today, two women and one man. You'll be surprised at the man's dating profile. That one's for you, ladies. All right, first one, she's got blue hair. Warning sign number one. She says, a bit of a Harry Potter nerd. I'm size 16. No, I don't have a flat stomach. It means I'm fat, overweight, and no, I don't want to F you. Okay, so she's a little bit of a bigger gal. She calls herself fat. Not me, I'm not saying that. There's no pictures of her body, so I don't know. But she's calling herself that, and so she's saying, okay, I'm overweight, I'm a Harry Potter nerd, and I don't want to sleep with you. Next line, I have three kids at the age of 30. That might be one of the reasons why she doesn't want to sleep with you. She has all the kids she wants, so she doesn't need you there for that. Looking to steal someone's jumpers. Here's my Instagram. No, I'm not going to send you spicy photos either. Once I'm comfortable with someone, I'm quite loud, chatty, and sarcastic. I don't think I have a filter, and a lot of the time, I'm as surprised by you as what comes out of my mouth. Where are all the men that want a strong, independent woman who wants to feel weak in your arms? No men want strong, independent women. Or the guys that do, The guys that do are not for you. Because those men, the weak men will take, a, quote, strong, independent woman. Strong, independent woman nowadays really just means argumentative, wants to be the controlling factor in a relationship, and likes to take charge and is the alpha in a relationship. At the same time, she's loud, chatty, sarcastic, and I don't have a filter. And she doesn't want to sleep with you, and she's a little bit overweight, according to her. Boy, she sounds like fun. So guys, if you're interested, her blue hair and her are waiting out there for you. Profile number two, this gal is 23. She's a flight attendant. She's 5'3". She's French-Canadian. She's looking for a hookup. A huge trouser snake preferred. So, gentlemen, you must be hung like a horse to get with this gal. She's already in a relationship, by the way. She says, I'm in a relationship already. I'm looking for a third. Don't worry, you'll be the only one playing with me. So she's already got somebody else. She's keeping him around, or maybe her around, but he doesn't have access to her physically, only you. So at least you won't have to play Daddy Warbucks. 23 years old, and this is where she'd like to be. All right, and the last one. This gentleman is 42. He says, I'm seeking a hostile woman for unfulfilling bedroom fun, a future divorce, and codependency. Looking for a whiny, crazy lady with misplaced sense of entitlement and lots of expectations. Bonus points if you just finished dating every guy in town but now want to take it slow with me. I would be open to an unsatisfying fling, but prefer a long-term, soul-crushing descent into booze and pills. This man understands what it's like to be in, not only on the dating apps today, but in most long-term relationships anymore. So my friend, at 42, you have it figured out. I think guys at 26 and 22 have figured it out now. I just give him props for putting this on a dating profile, and I think that more of us men should do that. I think if all of us men made a dating profile like this, pause this video, write it down, make a dating profile with this, and just start sending that message out. And when enough women see that, maybe they'll understand we're on to them, and we know just how bad the dating is. Guys, if you'd like to support my work, links are below as always. If you have, thank you very much. It means a lot to me. The best way you can support me is like, comment, share, subscribe, and check out my other work, older work. It's all kind of the same stuff, just different background if I was in the house or something. It's not like the quality is improved. My face is just the same, just getting a little older day by day, a little more gray. But the content, still fun, still good. Go check it out. Guys, I'll leave it there. This is Better Bachelor. I'm Joker. Remember, it doesn't matter if you're a billionaire. It doesn't matter if you're popular. It doesn't matter if you meet him in the middle. If you're her best friend and you're her soulmate, she's going to get bored of you. If you stay that strong, independent man, it means you have too many bad habits and you're too independent. You're not meeting her needs. It's like lose, 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 lose. No matter what you try, it's just never going to be good enough.